Spirit Radio Podcasts.
It is Saturday Magazine with Jackie. I hope you guys are having a good morning. Now, our next guest is involved in something really interesting. It's an initiative that offers grant funding for books and DVDs on the Christian faith, and they place them anywhere they can be borrowed and enjoyed. The grant initiative is called Speaking Volumes, and over the past number of days, our next guest has been gifting Christian books to prisons around Ireland. Now, on the line to tell us more, we have Paula Renau. She is with Speaking Volumes. Paula, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. And Paula, just tell us a little bit about Speaking Volumes. How did this idea come about? It's a great idea.
Yes, it was actually started by a man named Cecil Jackson Cole, who very few people will have heard from or of in history books or whatever, but he's very much the founder of modern day charities such as Oxfam, Help the Aged, Action Aid. And what happened to him was his first wife died, and he couldn't find any Christian literature that would help him in his bereavement. And being a Mr. Fix-It, I suppose, he decided he would start this small trust to make sure that Christian literature could be freely available to people who would benefit from that. And that's interpreted then by, you know, making these grants available so that public libraries and schools and prisons and all sorts of libraries can stock books on the Christian faith.
How excellent. So tell us just a little bit more about the grant scheme, Speaking Volumes. How does that work?
Yeah, we have two grant funding rounds a year, and we're able to give about 200 or so grants, and so people apply for those, and what they do is they tell us which Christian bookshop they would like to buy those books from. So we try to work in partnership with the local Christian bookshop, and then when we offer the grant, they make their purchase at that bookshop, and the bookshop works to help us promote the scheme as well in their community. So it's a lot of partnership going on in lots of different places.
Excellent. So who are the grants aimed at? Like, who would you encourage to reach out to apply for a grant?
Well, initially we tried to work very hard with churches, and really anybody who has a Christian faith who might want to see some books, say in their own public library, you know, could approach the library, ask them, you know, if they're interested in having some Christian books, and then they would make an application on their behalf, or the library would make the application. We're not too fussy, really. you know, the pleasure for us is to have those books made available.
And what is the process of selecting the books that you supply through the grants? Does the person themselves select the books, or do you have to approve those books? How does that work?
Well, we actually have a list of about 300 Christian books, because as you can imagine, not every Christian book is actually written for somebody with little or no Christian faith of their own. And that can be quite hard for someone to pick up a book, you know, that will not make sense to them. So we have a panel of experts, and they go through all the books that are sent to us by Christian publishers, and they read these books very thoroughly, and they make their recommendation as to which would be suitable for that type of readership. Now, bear in mind, we have readers as young as, you know, 2 years old or 1 year old, you know, sitting with their parents on their lap, you know, to people who are looking for inspiration at the end of their life. Mm-hmm. We have people who are expert readers and people who are very poor readers. So we try within those 300 or so books to cater for all of those needs. And so it takes a long time to curate a really good list of quality Christian books that go across the faith spectrum. You know, we're not one particular theology. We're not pushing one particular viewpoint. You know, we're trying to be balanced, and we're trying to offer something for everybody. Excellent. And at the end of the day, it's got to be a book that someone's actually interested in picking up. So the subject's got to be good, The cover's got to be interesting. The title's got to be grabbing. There's such a lot to think about.
There really is. That is a lot to take in. If people are just joining me now, you're listening to Spirit Radio at Saturday Magazine, and I'm talking with Paula Renoff. She's of Speaking Volumes, and they provide grants for Christian books to be put into the public domain so that people will be picking them up and reading them. It's a wonderful, wonderful idea, Paula. Tell us about what Speaking Volumes has currently been doing in Ireland.
So Julie Carville from christianbooks.ie, which is one of the bookshops that we partner with to promote the scheme and provide books, she came to a conference last year at a time when we had actually been given some additional funding from a different funding partner to our own to provide books for prisons. And although the grant was actually just for the United Kingdom, what essentially it did was release some of our funding for prisons elsewhere. So Julie spoke to one or two people to find out whether she could get some books into her local libraries, and eventually ended up talking to Philip Larrady, who was the CEO of a Release Prison Partnership, who was able to make connections with the interim head prison chaplain, and between them they were able to provide or to apply for a grant for each of the 12 prisons in the Republic of Ireland.
Wow.
And we were able to fund those grants, and I've been over here helping Julie and Philip and the head chaplain deliver those books to, we went to Mountjoy, to the Progress Unit, and to Shelton Abbey, an open education centre. And it's just been so eye-opening. It has been a great pleasure to connect with people who will ultimately read these books. And, you know, the chief librarian at the Progression Unit at Mountjoy was so pleased with the books, because apparently they get a lot of offers of books, but they tend to be somebody clearing off their old shelf or their
stock.
And when they saw these books, they got very excited.
Aww.
And their response was just so humbling for somebody like me who just, you know, sits an office desk and, you know, throws out these grants. To actually see people receive these books, it's just really endorsing what
that
we
is,
do, because I know it's going
fantastic.
To make a difference.
Yeah. That's just so fantastic. And tell me, are groups in the Republic of Ireland, can other groups apply through this initiative, even though it's UK-based? And if so, how can they get in touch with you?
Yes, absolutely, they can apply. There is a website, and shall I give that?
Yes, please do.
To you? It's at www.speakingvolumes.org.uk, and you can go onto that website and create an account, pull up a list of books that you might want to have in any particular libraries. I say it's any manner of libraries. We have a lot of applications from schools, for example. And then you make your selection of books, and then you fill in the application form, and you submit it. And we've got a grant period at the moment during February and March. So if people are quick, they can get into that window. But we are actually, although we're UK-based, we offer books to anywhere in the world. There is no geographical limitation. There are limitations with how the books are used. They do have to be borrowable.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be in a formal situation. It can just be, you know, a bookshelf at the back of your toddler group in a church, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be in a, you know, reading box in schools, you know, or, you know, with the prison or in public libraries. It would be in a more formal setting. But as long as those books are borrowable by a wide readership, then we will consider your application.
Excellent. Paula, thanks so much for coming on today and informing us about this wonderful initiative. And thanks for doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. God bless.
And you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. That's Paula Renoff of Speaking Volumes. We thank her so much for coming on today. What a great initiative. If you want to get in touch, reach out at speakingvolumes.org.uk. Well, you've seen for weeks now that the shelves in the supermarkets have been lined with chocolate eggs and chocolate rabbits. It's been there since, I think, just after Christmas. I saw the first egg go up. And it seems this year that once the Christmas selection boxes left the shelves, they were just systematically replaced by these chocolate eggs. Also, with less and less packaging stating the word Easter on chocolate eggs, our next guest decided to do something that would help people celebrate Easter while also highlighting the true meaning of the season. It's called the Happy Easter Egg, and on the line now to tell us more, we have its founder, Julie Carville. You're very welcome to the show this morning, Julie.
Good morning, Jackie. Yes, it's great to talk to you.
Well, it is excellent to have you on again. We've had you before, and it's so great to have you back because it is that time of the year, isn't it? Easter is nearly upon us. We're on the countdown. Now, first of all, Julie, and you know, you founded the Happy Easter Egg Company a few years now, but take us back to how the idea came about. I'm sure there are listeners who may have never heard of the Happy Easter Egg.
Yes, well, it was 2015 was the first year, and as you say, you know, I go into my local supermarket and look along the shelves, and the word Easter has gone off the boxes of Easter eggs and their, you know, the brand name egg. And I read about a survey in England, and it was asking children what did Easter celebrate, and approximately a quarter of children said that it celebrated the Easter Bunny's birthday.
Oh.
And another quarter were convinced that it celebrated the invention of chocolate. And so it went on.
Interesting.
And I just thought, oh, this is so far from what Easter actually is about.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing that people would think that. That's interesting.
So the Happy Easter Egg, then, the important bit about it is that it has a small booklet written, you know, in a fashion for small children, with the Easter story. And writing the Easter story wasn't as easy as I thought until I started, because you have to presume that actually the child knows nothing. So, you know, Jesus died. Well, sorry, who was Jesus?
Yeah.
And but yet, you've got to put it in children's language, and it can't be too long. So it's a lovely illustrated little booklet.
You know, Julie, it's a really good point you're making there, because I was just reading, another mom was talking about, you know, she's raised several children, she has a large family, and one of the younger children, she said to the little girl something about Adam and Eve, and the little girl said, "Who's Adam?" And she was like, "You know who Adam is." Mom said, "You know who Adam is?" And she said, no, I don't." She was like, "Oh my gosh, okay, I'm going to go get the Bible right now." Because you do, you think all your children know these stories, and there's some children, or sometimes you forget to tell the younger children these stories. It's important, isn't it?
Yes, and then there are homes where none of the stories are told.
There you go. There you go.
Increasingly so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's important to get the message out.
Yeah. And then not only is the message in the little booklet in the box, with, of course, the delicious chocolate Easter egg.
Yum, yum.
We don't rule out the chocolate. but there's also then an online little video of the same story for the child who actually can't read.
Excellent.
Narrated with some nice Irish music, all Irish produced.
Lovely.
Well, bar the cocoa, obviously, that doesn't grow in Ireland. But everything else absolutely is Irish.
That is so amazing. So it just sounds so good, too. So you've got the chocolate egg in there. You've got the booklet. You've got everything that the parent needs, or the grandparent, or whoever's given the egg can give it to the child, and they can explore that themselves.
And there's a little bit on the box in more adult language geared for the adult who may be the purchaser, who's, you know, a little bit more about what Easter is, actually, in more adult language.
Excellent.
And then some recommendations, you know, if you want to find out more, you could find a local church, you could do an Alpha course. And actually, on the website also, there's an audio version of one of the gospel accounts of Easter, and then there's a longer audio of you know, taking bits from the Bible, trying to give a fuller version of the story, not just starting, you know, with the literal Easter account.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's as many resources online as I can think of that are relevant to Easter that would engage somebody about what is Easter all about.
That's so good. And tell us a little bit about the product and the ingredients in the Happy Easter Egg. What kind of chocolate do you use? Tell us a little bit about that.
If you were to think what's the best quality chocolate that's produced in Ireland, it's from that same factory. I'm not at liberty to actually give the brand.
So we can use our imaginations to figure that one out. Okay.
And I mean, what I love about it, and this is becoming more topical, is that the chocolate is totally sustainable. And, and this factory has been, that's been their policy for many, many years before it was the fashion to be sustainable. So, you know, the farmers are given a good price, and they would very much make the point that it's no good just giving the farmers a good price. There's a whole lot of people between the farm and the chocolate arriving at the factory in Ireland. There's a whole supply chain that need to be given a fair wage, particularly, you know, where people aren't given a fair wage.
Mm-hmm.
And they give training to the farmers. They particularly focus on women farmers and train them not only to get better yields and therefore better livelihoods, but how to plant in other crops that they could eat in amongst the chocolate crop. And
wow.
I mean, even the factory, they send zero waste to landfill. Any food waste to do with the actual chocolate is composted. They have the largest solar power units on any industrial unit in Ireland, so they really, you know, believe in sustainability in all its facets. That, all the packaging is recycled.
That is really impressive.
Yeah, and this has been their policy because they believe in it. They're not just jumping on the bandwagon because it's good marketing nowadays because everybody's talking about it, and I do love that. But they're people of faith who own the factory, so you can see where they're coming from.
Absolutely. They're not just looking at a product and a profit. They're looking at the sustainability and looking after people as well.
Exactly.
What a great reason to support this Easter egg. There's so many good reasons. And I think it's really important too, Julie, to highlight to people that are listening that your Easter egg, the Happy Easter Egg, is not available through the shop. So how can people out there who want to get these Happy Easter Eggs, how can they get their hands on one?
So trying to keep the price down, mm-hmm. because it is a high quality chocolate, and there's some little chocolates in the box as well as the egg, which is a really good size and lovely and thick chocolate. Yes, if we were to put it into shops, then the shops need a profit margin and all become more expensive. So basically, in general, it's available through churches, but a church, it can actually be any sort of a group. So what I love is when a church announces this and different people in the church, individuals, sign up. And I was actually talking to a church leader this year, just the other day, and with a novel idea, saying in their church they were going to talk about random acts of kindness. So why don't you get sign up for one of these Easter eggs for somebody you wouldn't even think to give, a child probably, that you wouldn't even think to give an Easter egg for usually, but just consider it a random act of kindness and use your imagination for who you could get an Easter egg for and give it to. So, I mean, some churches, as I say, they do that, and, you know, members of the congregation sign up, they'll get two or three, and they will give them, I'm sure, to their own family, but also give them to, you know, a neighbouring child who is brought near any church any longer, and treat it as a little bit of a mission.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of evangelization going on through the Easter
egg. And then other churches, they order them, and the church actually finances them, they order them for the altar service or the Sunday school children.
Lovely.
Or the children's choir children or whatever, in the different denomination, you know, whatever way they have of organizing, where there's some group of children who are involved in the, what goes on in the church. So it varies, obviously, from context to context. But the thing is, with the, when I say, like, a church, the church could be a group of neighbors or a group of colleagues.
It could be anybody.
I'd be amazed as to who. There's a minimum order to get the free delivery of 20 eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I found when somebody's contacted me and said, you know, I'd like to get some, but I only need four. And I say, well, maybe your friends or your colleagues or your relations. And they'd come back. They find 20 very easily.
Wow, wow. Absolutely.
And I've also, there's one businesswoman who has quite a large business. And she buys a whole lot, one for every one of her employees every year. And I would love to see more businesses do that.
What an excellent idea.
It's evangelization, but it's low-key and nobody says no to chocolate.
Absolutely. Who's going to say no to nice chocolate? Got a couple of texts in here, Julie. People are responding to what you're talking about. I have a text in here from Esther saying, just wondering if there are any eggs or resources aimed towards older children or teens. Have you ever thought about doing something like that?
I haven't, though it's been requested of me. I started this in 2015, and I have to admit, you know, it took a lot of money, a lot more than I expected, to develop the whole product. So I don't think I have the resources to evolve it further.
Well, maybe there's somebody out there listening who might want to sponsor something like that.
Yeah.
There we go. We see this is what Spirit Radio is so good at, bringing people together and cultivating ideas. I've got another text in here as well. People are really engaged with what you're talking about. It says, on a separate note, please a big thank you to Julie from the Happy Easter Egg Company. I've been supporting her from the start, and she is doing great work. And that's from Sean. Sean texted that in this morning. So
yes, there's some very regular. I think I know which Sean that is. Yes. there's some great churches and groups and schools, several schools who, and they order every year.
Yeah,
different
yeah.
numbers, different years, but, you know, very faithful. They believe in what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is just such, what a great, I love it when somebody gets an idea. They see a need and they go, you know what? I can be God's hands. I can do this. I can do this for God, and just put the thing together and just do it. So, Julie, kudos to you for that. How can you said people we can't get the eggs in the shop. So, how can people? What's the deadline?
Well, the deadline, that is the all important thing. The deadline for orders is the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
So the 18th of March.
Okay.
Because you know, the factory take time to manufacture them, and then I the churches particularly like to have them by Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, rather than just getting them in the few days before Easter. So that does push the deadline back a little bit. So the 18th of March, the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Day after St. Patrick's Day.
Order deadline.
And how much are the eggs? What's the cost?
The eggs are €8 each, or if there's anybody listening in Northern Ireland, they're £6.50.
Okay.
And it's free delivery once it's over 20 eggs anywhere on the island of Ireland. And then they do need to be ordered in multiples of 10, because as you can imagine, they're quite fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Once they're arriving smashed.
Yeah, yeah.
So they come packed in a good strong box of 10.
Okay.
So it's just not feasible to send out a smaller number than, so 20, 30, 40, 50.
Okay, so multiples of 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all the details are at www.happyeastereg.ie.
Excellent.
If people don't have internet, I can be got on the phone at the order line, and maybe we'd repeat this again at the end if people want to note it down. 085-229-3722.
Okay. Got it. So that's 085-229-3722.
Yeah, and email is info@happyeastereg.ie. And actually, on the website, www.happyeastereg.ie, if you go down the bottom, there's a contact us you can click on. And actually, you can sign up there for emails, which are just only, obviously, a seasonal thing. You won't be pestered with emails all year. but I have an email that I can send out. If somebody's interested, they can either ring me, email me, or they can find it all on the website. But if
Absolutely.
They'd like an actual email with all the details that they can print out, then they can sign up there easily.
Okay. And that's info@happyeastereg.ie. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. Julie, thank you so much for all of that. And I got a message in here from Fergal. Fergal is a listener who really loves his chocolate, and he really loves his giveaways. And he thinks that we should give away some Easter eggs on Spirit Radio.
Oh, well, hold on. I forgot. Usually what I do on Spirit Radio is we offer a prize.
Yes.
Can you organize this? Whoever texts in, somebody as the prize winner.
I can
And when the eggs come from the factory, I'll send that person there. Prize there.
I can certainly organize that. I can certainly organize that. So we have an Easter egg to give away.
Yes.
Great. Julie, thank you. You are amazing.
I'm glad your texter reminded me of that.
That's brilliant. I didn't think you'd do that, but that's great. I can certainly organize that. I'm on it at the moment. Julie, thank you so much for coming on today and wishing you all the best. And thank you so much for thinking of this and making it happen.
Great. Thanks, Jackie. It's great to talk to you as always.
Great to talk to you too.
Bye.
That's Julie Carville. She's the founder of the Happy Easter Egg. We thank her so much for coming on this morning. So if you or perhaps your church want to place an order for Happy Easter Eggs, you can visit happyeastereg.ie. The closing date for the order is Wednesday, the 18th of March at 5 p.m. So that's Wednesday, the 18th of March, the day after St. Patrick's Day at 5 p.m. It's happyeastereg.ie, or you can go to info@happyeastereg.ie if you want to email Julie, or you can call her on 085-229-3722. That's 085-229-3722.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.